Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Welcome to Through the Bible. As we've traveled through the Gospels, we've studied three major sermons from Jesus. Today, we'll hear our teacher, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee, explain the fourth, which is most often called the Upper Room Discourse. But before Jesus gave this very personal message to his disciples, he did something that surprised them, something the world has talked about since that time. He washed his disciples' feet. It's a remarkable story and one that has a message for us as well. So go ahead and climb aboard the Bible bus, and if you brought your Bible with you, then please turn to John chapter 13 at verse 1. Now, I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and while you find your place in God's Word, I'll share a few comments from our Facebook page. Recently, we asked the question, if you had to pick just one thing that you've learned on the Bible bus, what would it be? Well, here are some of the great answers that you gave. A listener named Shirley said, I've learned that I'm covered with Christ's robe of righteousness, which allows me to be in God's presence. How awesome is that? Well, I agree, Shirley. That is really awesome. And then here's a post. This is from Vicky. I've learned that there is one God and one God only, and He is sovereign, holy, full of mercy and grace, and He is in control. Praise the Lord. Yes, Vicky, praise the Lord. And here's how a listener named Chris answered our question. I've learned that Jesus healed many thousands of people. However, so few believed His message. This part of a man hasn't changed to this day. So many only want Him to heal them, but stay out of the way all other times. Aren't these really good responses? You know, there are so many good ones that tomorrow I'll share a few more. And in the meantime, how would you answer that question? Let me repeat it. If you had to pick just one thing that you've learned on the Bible bus, what would it be? You can post your answers on our Facebook page. You can email your thoughts to BibleBus@ttb.org or call and leave a message on our listener testimony line at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Remember, we really do love to hear from you. It means so much to know that you're learning as we travel together through God's Word. So why don't you take a few minutes to contact us today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so humbled by your desire to fellowship with us. We ask that you will touch our hearts and help us to hear directly from you as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Friends, the Lord Jesus gave four major discourses. Three of those discourses we've already seen are in the major portion in the Gospel of Matthew. We have there the Sermon on the Mount, so-called, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then we have Matthew 13, the Mystery Parable Discourse. And then we have Matthew 24 and 25, which is the Olivet Discourse. Now, they are important discourses. I wouldn't discount them for one moment. And those of you that have been with us as we went through Matthew know the significance we attach to each one of those discourses. But now we come to the Upper Room Discourse. That begins here in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. This discourse is one of the greatest discourses our Lord ever gave. And not only that, it is the longest, by the way, also, but it's more meaningful for you and me today because He took His own in the upper room and revealed new truth to them. I think each one of these chapters that we have in this upper room discourse, beginning with John 13, will reveal new truth. And the interesting thing is, it's brand new and fresh to us today. There's nothing quite like it. Now here in John 13, we see Him going to the upper room with His disciples, and these 13 men are in the upper room. And as we begin chapter 13, and in chapter 13, He washes the feet of His disciples. That was a very unusual thing. By the way, at the beginning of John 12, this last chapter, you remember we were looking at the feet of the Lord. Now, in this chapter, we're going to see the feet of the disciples. And the feet of Christ were anointed, you will recall. But the feet of the disciples, now they're washed. What a difference. the Savior passed through this sinful world, and he contacted no defilement whatsoever. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled. And by the way, the feet speak of the walk of a person. And here we have the walk of our Lord. They were anointed with a fragrant spikenard that tells of the sweet savor of our Lord and the wonder of him today. Then you will notice that he washed the feet of his disciples here because they needed washing, as we shall see. And he used water, and the washing of the feet of the disciples was by water and not by blood. Now, that's very important. I hear so many people today talk about the fact that they must come anew to the fountain that's filled with blood and that sort of thing. May I say, to speak like that, I think dishonors our Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does cleanse us from all sin. But that is the one sacrifice, and the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:14, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are set apart. What a wonderful thing that we have here. And so we find that when you and I come as a sinner to Christ, it's the blood that once and for all cleanses us and gives us a standing before God. But my friend, we need to be purified along the pilgrim pathway, because our walk through the world, we get a little dirty, and we need the washing. And we're going to see now that our Lord washed his disciples' feet, and it was for a very definite purpose. Now, there is given to us here a threefold reason of why he washed their feet. And I want you to notice that, because that is very important. First of all, let me read. Now, before the feast of the Passover, there's been much controversy as to what supper is referred to in John 13. It's not the Lord's Supper, we find, at all, because actually John does not record the Lord's Supper. By the way, many of you that have heard me speak on this before recognize that there are two things that are not recorded in the Gospel of John. One is the fact that we do not have the transfiguration in the Gospel of John, and we do not have the establishment of the Lord's Supper in the Gospel of John. This is the Passover Supper we're talking about here. And somebody might say, well, why in the world was that left out? It's so important, why would it be left out? I think the reason is, I'm afraid a great many people today are attaching a great deal of importance to a ritual. And we do know that certain churches today do just that. At the present time, the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church are having quite a controversy as to whether Romanism should accept the communion or the Lord's Supper the way the Lutherans do it. You see, they have a certain similarity, it's true. But there is a danger of us today putting too great an importance on a ritual, friends, and not putting it upon the person of Christ. And I frankly think that's the reason that John did not include it. Now, this is the Passover that we're talking about here. Now, before the feast of the Passover. And now, here are the three reasons of why the Lord washed the disciples' feet. And keep this in mind as we deal with it. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now, I wish I had time to deal with that a little more thoroughly, but let me just call your attention to several things. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he did it in view of the fact because he knew the time was coming that he was going to depart out of this world. Now, that's important to see, because his ministry would continue after he went back to heaven of washing the feet of his own. And the very interesting thing here is that he takes the place of a servant. And there are those today that like to say that he's relinquished that place of a servant. Well, he's identified himself with his people. And today, he still washes the feet of his disciples. Now notice, first of all, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. What world? Well, this civilization that we're in. This civilization that's under judgment. This civilization that's anti-God and anti-Christ. This civilization that's in rebellion against God. He's leaving this world. And what he's doing in view of that fact. Keep that in mind now. The second reason is this. He was departing out of this world unto the Father. Now, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them right on through to the very end. Actually, what we have here is this, that what he did it because he loved his own, and he loved them right on through to the very end. Friends, he died down here to save us. He lives up yonder to keep us saved. We have a wonderful Savior, and he loves us right on through to the very end. Now, the third reason, and supper being ended. Actually, literal here is, the supper was in progress. The Passover supper, they were celebrating it. Right in the midst of it, why, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The Lord Jesus, you see, did this because there was an uninvited guest in the upper room. And that uninvited guest was Satan. He entered it. We speak, as I said a moment ago, 13 men went in that upper room. 13 persons. There was another person there, making it 14. I think he didn't like the fact that 13 was an unlucky number, so Satan decided he'd come to that place. Oh, there's several wonderful things here. By the way, that number 13 we don't think is superstitious. We think it's scriptural. It should have been just 13 in the upper room, but the devil came in making it 14. Now, will you notice, he entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And you know, the washing took place because of that, because others were affected by it. And you know, the devil today gets into Christian works, he gets into churches, and people get soiled and dirty. And the Lord wants to wash them, and he'll have to wash them, as we shall see, if you're to have fellowship with him. Now will you notice verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Now, let me change that a little. It'll be the better translation, I think, at least give us a better understanding. Since Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God, and that he's going to God. Now, that's restated, that what he's doing is because he's returning back to the Father, and that's important, because I believe he's washing feet today. I think that is his ministry. Now, notice what it says here. He riseth from supper and laid aside his upper garments. He didn't become nude. That's not the thought here. He laid aside his upper garments, that is, that robe that he wore, and he took a linen cloth. Our translation says towel. And frankly, there were no canon towels in that day. That's what I think of when I think of a towel. And this was just a linen cloth. And he took a linen cloth and girded himself. Now, he's going to do a very strange thing. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel or the linen cloth wherewith he was girded. Now, this is a strange thing that he's doing. He takes the place of a servant. He never relinquished that place, by the way. And I think that he's girded today with the towel of service, that linen cloth of service, in which today he still washes the feet of those that are his own. And he did this because he loves his own right on through to the end. You remember when we were studying the book of Exodus, and back in the 21st chapter, there was the law concerning a Hebrew servant, that if he served his master well the seventh year, he could go out free. But if he had, during that time he'd taken a wife and he had children, and the master says, you can go out free, but your wife and children can't. They're my slave. And he said, well, I love them, and I won't go out. I want to stay with them. And then the master would back him up to a doorpost and bore his ear through with an awl. Actually, that's translated later on as he was crucified. And the Lord Jesus came down to this earth, took upon himself our humanity, made in the likeness of a servant, and he took that character, and he did it because he loved us, and he died on a cross that he might provide salvation for us, and he's identified with us. What a wonderful position that is, and what a wonderful relationship that is. And he did that because he wants to have fellowship with us. And we are today to recognize that we are his servants, and that the day's coming. We're told that we're going to sit down with him, and he's going to serve us even in the future. That's going to be an unusual thing, is it not? Now, will you notice that he's going now to cleanse those that are his own? And we see it in his washing of Simon Peter. He cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now there are those, you know, that attempt to say that all that you have here is just an example of humility. Well, friends, I think that they would have got that message, but the Lord said to Simon Peter, what I'm doing thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And I very frankly believe that there's more here than that. Now, there are others that will say that it's an example for us, because we're told in verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. And they practice it. And I have no objection to that. The late Dr. Louis Bauman here in Southern California heard me on this chapter, and he sent word to me that he said, I agree with everything that you said. I believe there's a great spiritual meaning here that you might miss, by the way. And we don't want to miss that. It's very important to get that. Now, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What did our Lord mean by that? What he meant is, you'll have no fellowship with me. You see, this is the Passover feast, and our Lord arises from the Passover feast. That Passover speaks of his death. He rose in resurrection, and he went back to heaven, girded himself with a towel of service, and he's saying to you and me, if I don't wash you, you'll have no part with me. How does he wash us today? Well, we're clean, he says, through the word that I've spoken unto you. And in Psalm 119:9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And Christ also loved the church. He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And so he loved the church, and having loved his own, he loved them right through to the end, and he cleanses them. And if we're to have fellowship with him, we must, my friend, have him cleanse us. And how does he cleanse us? Well, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And a great many folk today don't emphasize that enough. They think that's a light matter. Well, my friend, may I say to you, the feet speak of the walk. And when you and I become disobedient, we're not walking in his way. And that is sin, and that needs to be confessed. And then you and I get our feet dirty in this world. Because listen to what he says here. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean, but not all. You see, the language that he uses here in verse 10 doesn't give the meaning. The first word is luo, and that means to apply water to the whole body. And the one that's bathed, he needeth not to wash just except his hands. And that's another word, nipto. And it's a picture in that day of the public baths. A man would go and take a bath, and he'd put on his sandals to come home. And in every home, there was this basin of water in order for them to wash their feet, because they'd get dirty walking through the Oriental or the first century streets of the cities of that day, because that's where the garbage was put. And so they had to wash when they entered the house. Now, our Lord says, when you came to the cross, when you came to me, you washed all over. But when you walk through this world, you get dirty. We become disobedient. And sin gets into our lives. And I don't think, friends, any believer goes through a day without getting just a little dirty. And he says, you'll have no part with me. And friends, don't play that down. He says you'll have no fellowship with him. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, John says. But if we walk in the light, that is the word of God, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ just keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Now, after he did that, he said, so after he'd washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? Now, if it was just a lesson in humility, they had got the message. And if it was only just washing their feet, I think Peter would have spoken up and said, sure, we know what you did. You washed their feet. But you see, there's something more there than that. He says in verse 17, if ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. You want joy in your life today, Christian friend? I don't care who you are or how good you think you are. You better go to him and confess. Confess the fact you're disobedient. Confess the fact of your thoughts that are wrong. Confess your acts that you've done. You see, we need to confess. And he very frankly says, you have no fellowship with me. Now, what does it mean, though? If I've washed your feet, you're to wash one another's feet. Well, I'll tell you how we're to do that. Paul says over in Galatians, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Friend, may I say to you, when you go and restore some poor brother, instead of beating him on the head and criticizing him, go to him and try to restore him. And that's setting a bone that's out of place. And when you do that, that's when you're washing feet, friends. And we need foot washing today in the church, do we not? This is a beautiful, wonderful thing that he did. And in closing, let me say, he's up there this morning. He's girded with a linen cloth. And he wants to take your feet and cleanse them, because the walk through this world, we get dirty. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Dr. McGee is right. We do need to be in the foot washing business today. If you'd like to spend more time learning about this beautiful and meaningful passage of Scripture, check out Dr. McGee's sermon titled, Is Jesus Still in the Foot Washing Business? It's available on a single CD or as part of Dr. McGee's 20-sermon audio series called Tracing the Steps of Jesus in the Days of His Flesh. To purchase or find out more, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. Oh, and when you contact us, please be sure to tell us how and where you hear Through the Bible. This little bit of information helps us make wise ministry decisions and helps us to serve you better. Now, be sure to join us tomorrow as we continue Dr. McGee's study on the Upper Room Discourse as the Bible bus rolls along in the Gospel of John. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.